You're listening to Bobby Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining us today on Bobby Talk. Hope everybody's doing great. How are you guys?
I am like an order of hash browns. I'm a little, today, just a little scattered, smothered, covered, top, diced, you know, all the things.
Did you think about that?
Are you salty?
Do they add salt? I don't know. I'm not salty. I don't think. Okay. Maybe I
well,
am
they,
salty.
I'm sure hash browns at Waffle House are salty.
I probably have a measure of saltiness today. Hmm. Yeah, just because of there's so many things happening right now.
Yeah.
Can you break down each of those adjatives that you use?
Very so specific.
For a little sure. All over the place. A little covered because covered up in I
prayer?
Yes, that's what I meant. No, literally this morning I came in and I just closed my door because I was like, I've got to get things done off my to-do list from last week because people are waiting, and which is fine, and people are gracious and people understand that. But it's causing internal distress. So
your mic's under distress.
Yeah, it
right
is.
Now.
It's turning around, so I'm bringing it back. Bringing it back. Anyway, that's enough about me.
What kind of hash brown are you today?
I would say that I'm just
tossed. Patty melt.
I'm a patty melt.
That's the best thing you can get at Waffle House is a patty melt.
I really don't go to Waffle House
at
all.
I don't like
it's really overpriced.
It's overpriced, but yeah.
If there'd be a sponsor, I would stop saying that.
I would. We would wear the hat. We would wear the Waffle House hat.
No,
Buggy
we wouldn't.
Talk.
No, we wouldn't.
Well, I would.
Even if they sponsored us?
I thought
if
with Kelly coming on, we'd get some sponsors, but it still hasn't happened.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I'm working on it.
Right.
How are you, Kelly?
I'm great. I'm great.
Good. Yeah,
everything's great. I got to wear a sweater today. I don't know. I don't really like hash
browns.
Yeah,
Justin didn't get the memo about wearing the black sweater.
Yes,
sorry,
no.
I didn't. You left me off that email. Sorry.
We're allowed to talk about.
That's funny.
I figure we could talk about weather.
That's 500
emails. Yeah, there you go.
We could talk about weather today because it's, you know, beautiful.
It is.
Out.
Yeah,
and
it's
cold.
Thank you, Jesus,
got cold
for falling.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool weather.
In case there's a hurricane, we were pre-recording this.
That's right.
In case
something terrible
to
happened,
saying.
This was recorded a few days
case,
before.
Yeah. It's beautiful outside.
It's beautiful outside.
True.
Oh, boy. Well, some things that we have coming up. Fall Festival is probably,
tomorrow.
Yes,
right?
Tomorrow.
Yes, Fall Festival.
And then November is going to be here, and we have a couple of exciting events. We have Family Night Out, which is going to be on November 9th, and then also the Men's Breakfast, which is November 3rd.
And someone in this room is speaking at the Men's Breakfast that's not me.
And it's definitely not me.
I think they should have a
I think
lady.
It would be, I think a lady should
but
be
James,
released.
You're speaking
I think a lady should be released to go speak at the
Released to go. Oh, boy.
Oh man. That's you have to listen to a couple
yes,
episodes.
Previous episodes.
Yeah. That's a joke. Mm-hmm. That's not language we actually use.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
Goodness.
No, I'm speaking on Dinah, if you're familiar with that story in
okay.
Genesis.
Oh, nice.
Number 34. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That'll be
interesting.
That'll be good.
Yeah. Well, to kick this episode off, what are those three things that people say not to talk about at Thanksgiving? You guys, have you heard of this before?
They say not to talk about
body flatulence.
Well, not that, but sure.
Oh, different house.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were told that over and over not to talk about the table.
Faith.
Yeah, religion, politics, and something else.
Oh,
money,
yeah.
money, finances.
Finances.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. Are we going to talk about all three of those things today?
Not today. Mm. Well,
I
two.
Say, I usually, like, jokingly, when somebody's like, who's going to go? I'm like, whoever has the highest salary, let's talk about them. Like, people are like, what?
What? Huh?
Like, who's going to pray?
You know? Whoever has the highest salary.
That's funny.
Well, today we're going to be talking about politics. So people will either love or hate this episode in the
That's
next
right.
couple of episodes. Mm-hmm. So. That's what season we're in. Election
we
about
are.
To be here.
We are.
So starting off with that, let's talk about faith and politics. Our first question is, how should Christians view politics?
Yeah,
of the
so,
devil.
Yeah, of the devil. So I think, yeah, we'll get into like Amendment 4 and Florida issues.
Coming
and
weeks, yeah.
This presidential election as we go forward, but probably good to kind of have a little bit of a refresher mm-hmm. and just talk about this in general. So a couple places in scripture that come to mind, 1 Timothy 2, I think is the most explicit one about politics. It tells us to pray for leaders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a church, as believers, we should be praying for those who are in high positions. And he says so that we might live a godly and peaceful life. I think ultimately, you want to live in a place where politicians facilitate the church flourishing, the church being able to do what it's called mm-hmm. to do without hindrance, and that people can thrive, you know. So we should be praying for that mm-hmm. to happen. Mm-hmm. Another one is Romans 13, right, which tells us to pay our taxes and honor our authorities, understanding God places them. So I think there should be this overall place or posture that unless government is causing direct harm to people, that we have a submissive attitude. And then I think really important is when Jesus tells us that his kingdom is not of this world in mm-hmm. the book of John, and he tells Pilate that. And, you know, I think to remember we're not ultimately living for an earthly kingdom, we're living mm-hmm. for a heavenly kingdom. And so as he taught us, pray, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come. I think we need to be people who are saying, hey, that's not the biggest thing to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So those are just kind of some general first thoughts of politics and Christians.
Yeah, I agree. I think those are really a good helpful framework, you know, or really boundaries for us to operate in when we talk about politics and faith, because people want to go immediately, I think, to the issue or the issues or how to vote, rather than establishing, like, those are things that get determined within a framework, and the framework of what is the Christian perspective on politics and government, that has to be where we operate from.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about you said we voting, like wanting a government to operate in such a way that causes the church to flourish. And so
pray
that. What did you say?
Pray that.
Yes. And I think
even
as we do that, like that, I think that's true. And even for the Christian, a piece of that is, you know, Jesus, you know, taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so a piece of our work as Christians on earth is to help people flourish. Mm-hmm. However, we recognize that people flourish through the gospel,
right?
Ultimately, mm-hmm. like any merit of human flourishing apart from the gospel mm-hmm. will not save you on the day that you are accountable to the Lord. So I think we have to keep that framework in mind, and at the same time recognizing what you said, that our God's kingdom is not of this world. That even if we achieved utopia, let's just in the United States through our voting and politics, it still is not heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And even if things go as worse as they possibly can politically in our country, that it's still not our home. And so because it's not our home, it's not our hope. And so I think those are just frameworks we have to keep in mind as we talk about all the nitty-gritty politics.
Yeah, and I think that for an American, there's the realization that we live in somewhat of a unique place mm-hmm. and time.
Yeah, it really is.
In which, you know, we are a democratic republic, and the foundation of our country was Judeo-Christian principles. You can debate how much that was intended to be faith or whatever, but it was mm-hmm. Judeo-Christian principles. And so I think that historically Christians have gotten the kingdom and the nation mixed up, you know, and identity mixed up, and have had, you know, have had to wrestle through what does it look like to be a believer and be a citizen, and you know, because wherever we are, we're a citizen of that place. And so I think and this kind of getting into maybe leading us in the wrong direction or maybe in the right direction, Kelly, you can make it happen. But you know,
here we go.
I'm trying to say this the right way. I'm not worried about offending. I just think that we tend to attach too much of America's success to – we naturally think God wants America to thrive in the way that he wanted Israel to thrive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just really not good application of Scripture.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That applies. And if you really started applying that, then – I'm just going to give you an example, and then I'll get out of here. Like, you know, like I'll walk out. I'll
walk out.
But like,
people would say basically America is to be like a new Israel. Well, the new Israel was to have a pretty open border, like with sojourners.
Mm. Yeah.
But most of those people would not say that.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's because we probably do need some kind of restrictions on mm-hmm. immigration And the Bible doesn't really speak to what America should do on that. It speaks to what believers should do on that.
So, yeah, that's a good point. Well, we did – somebody had sent an article that was pretty interesting, but basically it had some research or data in it that was mentioning the current voting like cycle right now. And, you know, they put out feelers to see like what's going to happen, what are people's thoughts. And so this article had said that there was a lack of interest in voting in this election cycle. Mm-hmm. And then it gave several reasons why. And so I can – do you want me to talk about the reasons?
Sure,
okay. Yeah. So basically they had about four different reasons that evangelicals, I guess, specifically were not voting in this cycle or didn't want to. The main one was just the lack of interest. They disliked the major candidates. They don't think their vote is going to make a difference or it's too controversial. So those were kind of the main reasons about why. And then it went into, should the church be more involved in speaking out about these things? So what did you guys think about the article and just kind of your...
It was on the sweater email, so Justin didn't get to
see it. Sorry.
I'm catching up as you're sharing.
That's what the article was about.
So.
For clarity, too, a few people sent this to me, so I did read it, and then we got, you know, one of our I appreciate that one of our listeners asked us. A couple things. First, so I did some research, and 2020 was actually a very positive election in terms of voter turnout percentage. Mm. Some might say those were made up people in Georgia, but you know, it was statistically.
Yeah, yeah.
And the devil is in politics. He went down to Georgia.
That's right.
Okay, anyway, hashtag not my president. Okay, so. But beyond that, you know, this number, it's like 104 million people of faith. Well, I think if I'm not mistaken, the number that didn't vote that were eligible total in America in 2020, which was a high election, was like 130, 140. Hmm. So I'm like, well, that's not much different than, you know, because a lot of those people aren't of faith. Or it's just alleging basically like all these people are of faith, which
true.
I would say most Americans do identify of faith.
Some level,
yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
probably 90%.
Right.
So first, I'm just saying, you know, I don't like that it seems like it's fear-mongering a little bit, the article, and a lot of this kind of stuff is either to incite a response or to get clicks, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm not a fan of that. And so I would just say in general, I don't think it's as alarming as, maybe the headline, originally caught me to read once I started digging into that a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting in 2000, 2004 when Bush and Kerry ran, less than half of eligible voters voted.
Hmm. Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, right. 2004. Yeah.
I think,
or maybe it was Obama year. Maybe it was Obama Romney. One of those years, it was 2016. Yeah, yeah. No,
what?
2012. You're right.
Yeah,
2012. Yeah. So one of those years was very low. Both of those years were very low. One of them was less than 50%. And I think it was because it was probably the Obama Romney. People are like, Obama's going to win. You know. So,
yeah.
But also the Bush Kerry people were just Bush is going to win. You mm-hmm. know. So and it's true usually when there's an incumbent president.
Mm-hmm.
But 2020 went against that trend.
Yeah.
Right? And some of that was it was easier to vote in 2020 because people weren't going to the office.
Yeah.
True.
So
yeah, I didn't think about that.
But I would say that there is a chasm between the passion of people who are 50 plus
mm-hmm.
and people who are 45 and under.
Yeah.
In terms of voting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, would you
I agree.
That's anecdotal and I think.
Yeah, I mean I think so. I think there is a group of younger people who are very passionate about it, but I think by and large that's pretty accurate. I think, you know, when I read these reasons, I'm like, well, these are the reasons people don't vote. I think particular to this election is the feeling of for Christians specifically, and maybe I'm overstating, I do sense even more so than in 2020, there is more of a sense of like our nation is in really bad shape, and neither one of these candidates is really great. I, you know, just general, that's oversimplification, but I do, and I think that was a sentiment back in 2020 as well. Mm-hmm. I think it's more so now.
Right.
But I do think you have the extremes, I guess I would maybe say it like this, the extremes of both sides are probably more like hands down, this is the way to go. And you have this growing center of the middle of everybody who's like, yeah, we recognize neither one of these are great options. And that's, so I think that's a piece of people, specifically Christians, when you think about what we would generally want in a president, recognizing neither one of these candidates represents everything. I mean, no president ever does represent everything you'd want as a Christian, but particularly these two candidates. So I think that's another piece of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like bringing up the debates, you know, when you watched the presidential debate, there was just a lot of like, they were just going back and forth. You know, it's like when you had said the fear mongering, like that is what's put out there. And I mean, I think whenever, you know, the initial election that Trump was in, like he was a celebrity. I mean, he was on reality TV. Mm-hmm. And so I think that just started a whole new way that politics, how it's run,
right?
You know, like it was say these things, get the most clicks, you know, that kind of thing. And then whenever the vice presidents did their election, a lot of people were saying like, oh, this was actually more of a civil conversation. So I think some of that indifference, like people thinking, well, it's not going to make a difference, or they don't really like the candidates. That's where a lot of that is coming from. I also think that this particular election is more, I feel like politics to maybe the younger crowd can sometimes be so polarizing. It's like they have this tribal type identity with somebody. And so they think, well, I don't identify with really either one of them. And so I'm just not going
to do anything at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the hard thing. Yeah. Like, where do I, if I don't agree completely with one or the other, do I just not vote? Or do I still, you know, what do I do? That kind of thing.
I think, you know, so thinking about evangelicals not vote, like I think as a Christian you should vote. I will back up and say, like, when people are like, a Christian has to vote, like, well, that's dangerous.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A Christian doesn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. The blood of Jesus covers them and it makes them righteous. Yeah. So like, let's be careful. You know?
Right.
But I get what you're saying. Like, a Christian should vote. I share that sentiment. The Bible doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard people's reasoning for not voting. And while I disagree with them, they're not heretics.
Right.
And I would just say, like, I don't know how I can make a case besides trust me and trust other people that there's hope in American politics to younger people. Because at risk of sounding like too mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And I'm going to say this as someone who's never voted Democrat. Republicans putting Trump up makes it a joke. Mm. I don't mind saying on the table, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump in this election. But the fact that DeSantis was a candidate and the Republican Party chose Trump over DeSantis, I'm not saying you're wrong for voting for him, but there's no way I can go to most 20 and 30 somethings and be like, see, here's reason.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because I would say what the Democrats are trying to do, I'm an independent, just so you know. By the way, side note, I'm independent. The Democrats have texted me about 500 times. I've not gotten a single thing. I've not gotten a single thing from Republicans.
Interesting.
So they are spending way more money on targeting independents.
Yeah, the Harris campaign has raised a lot more money.
Yeah, so Republicans almost like seem like they got this thing in the bag. They're not putting signs out as much. I would just say, never mind.
Observation.
Just what was I talking about before that?
Trump. I wasn't saying Trump was a joke. I was just saying that.
Yeah, like
he's not. He doesn't.
Saying to a younger generation.
Yeah. Yo. I feel like people feel like he does not. He should not represent the evangelical. Like, he's nothing, in my opinion. His personal lifestyle does not if you filter that through the gospel, is not.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
I know what I was going to say. Like a lot of what the Democrats are saying, like, it just doesn't make logical sense. Mm-hmm. There is no way that the country can sustain. Forget abortion, even though to me that is a big deal. And we'll talk about that as we go on. But like, just economically, like, this doesn't make any sense. What you're saying, offering every first time home buyer like 50 grand to buy a house. Like, where's that coming from? Like, it's just illogical. So the conservative party, Republican Party, has opportunity to say, we're the people of reason. Donald Trump's who you're saying is reason. Everything he says is all over the place and wild. And so I just, you know, we've kind of, again, not a Republican, but we've kind of made that bed. Like, and so my kids are like, have been watching these debates, and it's like, there's no respect for the presidential office. There's no hope in American politics.
Yeah, I think.
So what are we supposed to do, right?
Exactly. I think that's how we feel, right? I think that's evidence even how we're having to talk about this. Like, what do we do as Christians? And I think, you know, when you go back to like that a Christian should vote, we were talking about this before we actually were recording. And, you know, you can't read the Bible and extract things now, like in 2024, that like as commands that they would not have read in the first century. And so like you were talking, Kelly, how like, voting to them was not even really a concept because they lived under the rule of, you know, the king. And so I think like we have to be careful to say the Bible says you should vote. It doesn't. But like you were saying, I think that we got to be, but it does give us this framework for how to engage in politics. And so
I do believe a Christian should vote.
Yeah, yeah. I do too. I think,
but that's different from saying the Bible teaches.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And you come to those conclusions based off of what scripture teaches.
Right.
And I, at the same time, I think we said this, or somebody did, but like if someone's saying out of conscience, out of my faith-informed conscience, I can't vote in this election, I may not agree with them, but I would completely understand why based off of the current you know, climate. You know, and I get it. Like, you don't want to cast a vote for you. I get it. And so I think you have to, as a Christian, you really do, especially now, like you've got to separate – and as best you can, like your faith identity from political identity, but at the same time, your faith identity does inform what you want in politics, and so it's not a divorce of politics and faith informing politics, but it is a recognition that we've had in the past maybe some level of comfort in you know in this. But at the same time, there are faithful Christians who are going to vote Republican and faithful Christians who are going to vote Democrat in this election.
Yeah.
And you may not agree on the rationale. And I would say probably the biggest issue, there's many issues that you would disagree on, and probably one of the biggest ones is abortion. We're going to talk about Amendment 4 specifically in a coming week. And I understand that. I think at the same time, like if we, and when we talk about scripture informing our politics too, I just think Christians, what are we called to do? Like Jesus tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. Like we are called to bring truth to light and be peacemakers and all this too. And we're not going to do that by doubling down on a candidate and saying this is the Christian way to vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my thought.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we kind of talked about this a little bit, but we have these two extremes. We have, you know, people indifference with politics, and then you have kind of the overemphasis people on the other side that, like, that is their identity, is their political party. But what role should the church play in all of this? I mean, you've got those two ends of the spectrum, and we're kind of talking about that, like, what does the Bible say? But what role should the church play in that?
Well,
that's good.
I get an email. I told Christy and I were, you know, we have six kids and we're busy and we're always trying to navigate things and make decisions. So I was like, hey, I just want to remind you, like, in the background of everything in our life right now is 2 to 3 emails a week from people telling me I should be talking about who people should vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And like having.
And feeling that weight.
Yeah, feeling
what
that.
What people want, and people want to feel affirmed in what their conclusions are, and so they want you to say.
Yeah, somebody walked by me in passing on Sunday going to the service. It was like, don't forget to. But, you know, don't forget about the election. Like,
I mean, I can tell you a couple of things that the church shouldn't do. First Baptist Dallas that literally had a worship service and their choir sang an anthem that they commissioned called Make America Great Again.
You are kidding.
The church shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Agree.
I think that's not our place. I mean, the role of the church is to help people know the word and apply the word and to advocate. I mean, I think a huge piece of the role is to advocate for what is just and what is right, and ultimately in politics to advocate for laws and leaders that would do those things.
Mm-hmm. So I will not preach on this from the pulpit specifically. I mean, I will say we're on Boggy Talk talking about this. I literally just said who I'm going to vote for as an individual, not as I don't feel like that's appropriate from the pulpit. And also most people in government also don't feel like that's appropriate and technically could question your 501c3 tax exempt status based on that. So not that we would preach something the government doesn't say, but it is interesting. I would say that's consistent for us though, because like on Sunday morning for 2000 years, people all over the globe in all forms and fashions have got together to remind each other that Jesus is King. Mm. And we, even when it comes to small issues, like announcements about things and stuff like that, we're like always like, this can't take away from the purpose.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The purpose of this gathering is not on our authority. It's under the authority of God. And so, you know, we've even talked about like, you know, when we have someone who we want the church to meet as like a pastoral candidate, like, we don't want that Sunday to become about the pastoral. Like, we want it to be about King Jesus. And so that's consistent for us. That's not just a reaction to politics or whatever. We have been asked to educate our members on the issues and voting. I mean, I'm open to, not me, but doing something. But it just feels kind of icky to me. This is just personal preference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I do agree that there's a lot of people that don't understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're trying to. That's why we're doing this on Buggy Talk right now. I don't think churches that have a class that go over the issues are wrong.
Yeah, and I think that it goes back to especially the size church we are, where you have different people with different expectations, and by and large, not always, by and large, those are somewhat generational expectations. Whereas you have some people who are like, you should be talking about this. We also have people in our church who would be like, if you talk about this, I would have an issue because that's not the plate, like what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I think that it is tricky to navigate as a church leader. And it ultimately comes down to helping people to think and apply scriptures and realizing that, I mean, I would say that in things like politics, there is Christian liberty because it's not all represented, like in politics, it's not all representative of what we see in our faith. So,
yeah, that's true.
And I said that about make America great again in a worship service. Likewise, we should not swing the other way. And there are churches who are inviting political candidates or Democrat, you know, farther away. That shouldn't happen.
Warnock in your home state,
right? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, acting like he's preaching, but it's really a political. I mean
Warnock,
that
get that
yeah, yeah, yeah Warnock yeah. Yeah, yeah that happens a lot in churches and
More
that
like
and,
Warlock.
And really <Just kidding. laughs> oh gosh but like and that's on both sides so that happens in the Democratic and the Republican Party I mean we've had politicians not just like our local politicians who are members of the church but we don't necessarily call them up like we pray over them in their leadership capacity but they don't make announcements on the behalf of the city or anything and we've had other politicians who've visited who've visited this church and we're not like even really recognizing them in the church gathering because it's not the point.
Well, you're not supposed to show partiality.
We live in a culture that loves to show partiality. Right, yeah. And so we have to be, that's countercultural really to do that.
Yeah. I think it's very clear that a lot of younger people have bought into a narrative about politics that is left-leaning or Christians who are like disengaged. And I would feel a need to correct that attitude, but that's not our context.
Yeah, true.
You know, so like to me, I'm like, I see this, but it's not here, you know,
yeah.
like,
I would say one thing.
And I don't mean the political, I mean just their engagement, you know.
Yeah. I think that you do a good job on Sundays of equally offending. And I mean this in a great, when I say that tongue in cheek. Yeah. You do a good job of like, in our teaching, we're saying like, hey, this is an issue, but we've got to think biblically about this issue. Mm-hmm. And this is actually probably going to offend both sides of this. And I think, you do that pretty consistently. Or you do that consistently, I should say.
Right.
And so I think that is helpful. That is a way that that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm referencing engagement and voting ones because our series is Set Your Mind on the Things Above. And so there's a week that I'm kind of, you know, just talking about, hey, you know, you should care about these kind of things. Mm-hmm. You know, and how do you equip without emphasizing? I asked that question. I mean, I think it's just a tension to manage.
Mm. Yeah.
I do think there's a difference, though. And like us saying, okay, we believe abortion is wrong. And first of all, we can say that and say that in a way that is compassionate. God is the Lion and the Lamb. That communicates God is the Lion and the Lamb. Yeah. So there's judgment for this, but also there's sacrifice for you. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So there's that. And we have no problem talking about that. But it's not as black and white for me to say you can't vote for a candidate if they're pro-choice. Because, again, both of our candidates are pro-choice.
Right, yeah.
And even though I am radically terrified of Kamala Harris and where she's going, there are people who I believe love Jesus who have reasoned why they would vote for her.
Yeah.
I think they're wrong, but I can't say that from the pulpit, because – That's different.
Different. Not the place. Yeah.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point because, I mean, the purpose, democracy, civics, we're trying to get people to work together for a common good of the whole people, you know?
Yeah.
And so many of the issues that people argue and fight about, it really is a difference of opinion of where you need to go with it, you know, budget, finances, immigration, military, all these things. Really the only, I don't think that if we opened up the Bible, we could find a lot. I mean, I feel like you could use it as a lens, but a lot of those really particular things when it gets down to the nitty gritty, you know, about things like what does the Bible say about national debt? What does the Bible, you know, all of those things. The Bible does talk about abortion. And so that's like the one thing. It's kind of the litmus test, I think, for a lot of people with their candidates of what they're going to do. And that's what's, in my opinion, what makes politics so confusing is because if you really want to educate people, you know, they have to dig pretty deep to find out what people think about it. But then when you're going to say, well, this is the right way, this is the wrong way, it's not really that clear about all of those points, just mainly abortion. Is that making sense at all?
On
my brain.
I think so.
Processing it.
Yeah. There's a lot of the issues are complicated.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of, we had that conversation with our kids and we were talking about immigration and helping them understand why it's, you know, not, I mean, one of them just parroted back something they'd heard at school about building the wall and was like, well, it's not just that simple. And then you could see them, like, we're explaining really like how complicated this issue is and what our Christian faith and what the Bible commands us and compels us to do is to care for these people.
Right.
And so what that would lead us to do, you know, politically, right, informing our politics is to say that there should be clear, attainable steps to citizenship at the same time maintaining a safe border.
Mm-hmm.
And even how that you say it like that, oh, that sounds so simple, right? But then you involve people and politics and sin and money and the pork barreling and all these things and it becomes complicated.
So FEMA, right? All the criticism of FEMA's response and criticism of, you know, Biden and Kamala Harris for that. Well, almost every Republican voted no to fund FEMA hire.
Right. Yeah.
Like a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Obsession. Yeah.
But then they're blasting, you know.
I noticed that too.
And it's like, what? This is just nuance, you know, is more nuanced.
Yeah.
But I think just kind of trying to wrap this up for me, you know, I think as Christians, I think the more we're informed of what the Bible teaches, the more we will vote with an inclination to what God's heart is. And I think that I feel a responsibility as a pastor to shepherd people towards that and not to guilt them towards that. We were even talking about in my discipleship group this morning, we were reading Acts chapter 4, verse 32 through 37, I think it is, where they had everything in common and they laid it all at the apostles' feet. And it was like, so that's awesome. They met all the needs, but no one made them do that. You know, and so we shouldn't have a government that, you know, so that's kind of like critical of, you know, I guess left-leaning politics. Like, we shouldn't have a government that forces people to meet needs. But then at the same time, there are certain basic things that we want our government to do. And I just think there's debate about that, you know. I see the abortion issue very black and white. I mean, I'm very extreme on how I see that. But, you know, there are people even in our church who are definitely not where I'm at on that. And so I just think these conversations need to be reasonable and charitable.
Well, and I think, you know, you brought up a good point that you were able to have these types of conversations in your discipleship group. I think, you know, that's where they need to happen, where you know, and you can do that and you can ask questions. Well, what do you mean by this? Well, are you saying this? That kind of thing is important, too, because, you know, definitions,
when
you have nuances.
When you're able to converse back and forth, you mean, a sermon is – I'm not gonna say it's a monologue, but it is. You do get feedback, but you're not like conversing in that. And so when you are even listening to podcasts, like when you're able to converse and talk through it, and you hear people where they are, and I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but you're able to. It's easier to walk away from a conversation disagreeing, but still like in fellowship, than it is like, if you're just listening one side and being like, well, that's just, I'm out of here because of that, like, rather than actually pressing into the conversation.
Again, because a lot of this ends up getting directed towards me. If people walk away on a Sunday thinking the big takeaway is, oh, I should vote for Trump or whoever, versus, oh, Jesus is king. I have failed at my job.
Missed the mark for sure. 100%.
That's a very good point.
You're going to do that to me if I ever do that? But again, I already said what I'm voting for and where I'm on the issue, so I'm not,
Well, we're going to have a lot more of these conversations over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So if you guys have any questions, feel free to send them to me, Kelly, at KELLY at Church on Bay Shore.
What is Mario Bell address?
I had to think about that for a second. .org, and we will be happy to talk them out.
We'll make sure you know the uniform.
I will be.
Yes, sorry about that.
That's right.
Well, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.